Hey everybody, welcome back to the Moscow Mules. Welcome back to Moscow. I'm Shea Bowes. I'm joined, of course, by Augie, the co-pilot, the rear gunner, the man watching out for those dangerous little naffotards who are posting nasty comments. Boo-hoo. Where would we start this week? Well, come on. Of course, the only place to start is in the US. Now, what's going on with America? Come on, guys, what's happening? First, we see this poor Ukrainian lady being, executed on a bus. And now we've had Charlie Kirk, who doesn't know who Charlie Kirk is, brutally shot in public execution. Now, of course, we're not going to show the video, right, Augie? You've all seen it before. It's horrendous. The man is dead. So let's have a video-free zone right now. But what we're definitely going to talk about, right, Augie, is the reaction of the people, particularly on the left, as, you know, this divide left-right. What is it? What does it mean anymore? Common sense and denial of common sense. We're going to have a look at a video, which is kind of a compilation, right, Augie, of people reacting to the death of Charlie Kirk. And this is something I've been writing about and posting about a lot since this tragic, incident occurred. The man was executed in broad daylight. This is America in 2025. And what's most worrying, I think you'd agree, Augie, is the way people have responded to this online. Run the video, Augie.
Sweet in my delivery to make it work for Todd. I mean, who is Todd?
What's wrong with these people?
I'm not saying she deserved it, but I'm saying God.
I mean, what do you say about this stuff, Augie?
I say it's always interesting how the people who scream most about peace, love, you know, protecting others, the sanctity of life, also cheers for the murder so much.
Yeah, and of course, something we've said here on the Moscow Mules again and again and again is, where is the anti-war movement? Where is the peace movement? It seems that the left, liberal elites are more than happy to sort of subtly, tacitly endorse political violence, you know, and that's where it's coming from. It's not coming from the right. This is people, probably this kid who's been arrested, we think, for doing this heinous act, probably listening to this stuff. And by the way, the next impressionable kid with a gun in America is also listening now. So watch out. Now, of course, as America engages in what's basically a civil war online about Charlie Kirk, who was he? Did he deserve this? Because that's basically what's happening, right, Augie? It was only a matter of time, right, of course, that China and Russia would be in some way blamed for this, right, Augie? That it would be because of Russian and Chinese sort of antagonists or agent provocateur online trying to suggest that Charlie deserved it. He didn't deserve it. I mean, it's just quite remarkable that they would do this. Now, remember, it's not China, it's not Beijing, it's not Moscow, where people are being having their throats cut on buses, where political, analysts, he's not even a politician, are getting shot in the throat for the crime of debating, for the crime of saying, come and talk to me, come and sit down and talk to me. Let's have a listen to a US official basically kind of saying, doing the same kind of stuff, it's the same kind of gaslighting, but it's in reverse, that, you know, Russia and China are trying to stir things up in the US. Let's have a listen to him. Run it, Augie.
Our team, the state team, and I'm sure the federal team as well, what we're seeing is our adversaries want violence. China, we have bots from Russia, China, all over the world that are trying to instill disinformation and encourage violence.
What?
Is he talking about us or something?
He's talking about us. I mean, we're trying to, you know, instigate violence. Now, let's check this out. The next video Augie has dug up is very interesting. We actually ran this and I posted it myself on X. I suppose this guy, this kid who turned up at a vigil for Charlie Kirk, right? People have turned up to pray for this man, for his family. Two young kids, a young wife, executed in public for having the wrong opinion. Think about that. What kind of country does that happen in? Think about it. Now, I suppose this guy is a Russian, is he? Or maybe he's Chinese. Doesn't look or sound very Chinese or Russian to me. Run the video, Augie.
Do you support his death?
I do.
You support his death?
Fuck Charlie Kirk.
You support Charlie Kirk being killed?
Yes, I do.
On the day he died, you're here at a vigil for Charlie Kirk and you support his death.
Do you support a Nazi?
No, I don't support a Nazi. Charlie Kirk wasn't a Nazi. You support his shooter?
Yep, sure do. Freedom.
You support Charlie Kirk's shooter?
Sure do. He does all the favor.
Would you shoot somebody like Charlie Kirk?
I would have killed him myself.
You would have killed him yourself? Okay.
Wow. It's absolutely astonishing. Imagine this stuff was being said on the streets of Beijing, of Tehran, of Moscow. Can you imagine the meltdown that the libtard media would be having right now in the West, Augie, if that was Russia or China?
You don't understand, Che. Charlie Kirk was murdered democratically.
It was a democratic murder. Now, things didn't get any better on the other side of the pond, right, Augie? In the EU, there was an attempt to hold a minute of silence for this young man. Okay, 31 years old, remember. His crime, again, having the wrong opinion. And remember, Charlie Kirk was murdered going to college campuses and handing an open microphone to people to have discussions with him. He wanted to debate with people who disagreed with him. He wanted to, you know, allow people a forum, probably the same type of people who wanted him dead and actually in the end killed him, a chance to stand in front of him and argue the point. That's the fundamental basis of a free and open society, the idea that you can actually talk to each other. And he was probably killed for that. Now, in the EU, as I say, there was a proposal of a minute silence for Charlie Kirk, who had just been killed. And who was it that started to boo and jeer and heckle during a minute of silence for this young man? Was it the far right? Was it Viktor Orban? Was it the Slovaks? No, it was the pro-Ukrainian Euro-scam Euro-Reich elites who don't want, it seems, to show the smallest measure of respect for someone who'd just been executed very publicly. Really, really disturbing stuff. Run the video, Augie.
Rhetoric that incites violence. Please stand with me in reflection of prayer in his honor, and I yield the rest of my time for a moment of silence.
Herr Kollege Reimers, wir haben angesprochen, Sie wissen, dass der Präsident eine Entscheidung mit der Abschiebung ist. Wir fahren weiter fort. Willkommen zum Bericht von Herrn Kollegen. Ja.
Can you imagine? Again, can you imagine this happened? Listen to this insanity. Can you imagine this happened in Moscow or Beijing or Tehran? Can you imagine? Unbelievable. Unreal. It's just absolutely unbelievable. And remember, it's hardly surprising. Right, Augie? Because we're being told what's happening in Ukraine. People being dragged off the streets. Thousands of people in prison. The church banned. The elections banned. A language banned. A whole cultural historical association with your neighbour banned. Everything is banned in Ukraine. There's a new post-reality truth in Europe. And this seems to be part of it. A young political activist who believed in what he was doing, a young Christian man, is killed publicly. And they can't even stand up for 1 minute to show respect. It really, really tells you something. Now, back in the US, this debate goes on. This idea that you can support somebody like Ukraine, a dictator like Zelensky, a brutal, brutal dictator, the man at the head of a crime syndicate, essentially, because that's what Ukraine is. People like Mark Cuban, a very wealthy individual, very influential, they seem to roll this stuff off their tongues without even thinking about it. But of course, on this occasion, our old friend Tucker Carlson was sitting very close by and introduced a little dose of reality to this preconceived idea that you have to support Ukraine. You got to take the shirt off your back, take your last penny. Now, this is a billionaire, probably, Cuban. But he's saying to ordinary Americans, you have to just believe. You have to just believe in this pseudo-religious cult, the Euro scam. But Tucker had something different to say, and as I say, introduced a little bit of reality to Mr. Cuban, asking him, how much money have you sent to Ukraine? Run the video, Augie.
Mark, let me ask you a question. What's your take on whether we should be sending money to Ukraine or not? Were you in favor of that? Man, they need it.
I mean, honestly,
don't audit.
I don't have a good answer. You know, I can make an argument both ways, and half my family is Ukrainian from my grandparents. And so, you know, personally, I think we should help, but I don't have a studied answer for you.
Have you said, how much money have you sent to Ukraine?
None.
Oh, so what do you mean by we? You're the one whose family's from Ukraine. Like, why don't you send them $1 billion?
Because I'm trying to fix health care.
Why don't you fix their health care if you're, like, so deep? If you think we need to help, why don't you start? How about you first? Yeah. I notice that's never, like, even an option for anybody. It's like, we need to help. That's not what charity is. Forcing other people to help.
Yeah, sweet. We need to help. We need to get our act together and stop believing this bullshit. Now, while Mr. Kuban is, you know, getting a dose of reality from Tucker, there's also a dose of reality being given out in the U.S. Now, we often show the underbelly of U.S. society, and I think that's our job to do that. It's our job to talk about how great the U.S. is, but it's also our job to show you guys in Europe and in the States, where some people are completely, you know, segmented away from the reality of what's going on. It's very much a two-tier society. It's our job to do this. Now, why don't you check out this video? Because we're going to have a little discussion, right, about, you know, drug use in America. This epidemic of, you know, fentanyl and various other synthetic drugs that are flooding the streets. Check out this city. This is the city of San Francisco. Okay. Now, it's not only the gay capital of the United States of America, it's a very wealthy city in parts. But check this out. This isn't the scene from a zombie movie set. This is the United States of America days ago. Check this out. Run the video, Wuggy. This is insane. I mean, when I first saw this, I thought this was a music video, like for something like Michael Jackson's Thriller.
It looks like a flash mob.
A flash mob? What? What?
Oh, man.
Oh, man. It's unreal. It's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Well, do you know what's nice, Che? It's racially neutral. There are people of all colors there.
Yeah, it's probably one of the only places where you'll actually see societal equality. And it's down in the gutters when you look at the fentanyl addicts. There's black people, Chinese, Americans, Catholic, Protestants. Fentanyl doesn't care who you are once it gets hold of you. But here's something interesting. Things have got so bad in old San Francisco, the old Windy City, you know, that's Chicago, that people are now going around the streets injecting the drug addicts with the antidote to the drugs. There's a thing called Narcan, right? Check it. Narcan. Narcan is an emergency drug that's given by injection, sometimes into the heart, I think. Remember Pulp Fiction? And they're going around to get rid of these people off the streets, to clear them up. They're actually going around administering this stuff, right, Augie? And this is, we're not making this shit up, okay? Augie, this is a headline. Am I right?
Absolutely correct, Che. As I was researching this story, I found this absolutely absurd article, which goes like this. Fed up with drug users, street vigilantes are wielding Narcan like a weapon. The alleged use of Narcan on unsuspecting victims is a new strategy of moving bums out of your way.
My God, it's just gone full circle, isn't it? The circus has really, really circled around and come back to town. The lunatics have taken over the asylum. Unreal. And one place to look, if you're interested in a society, is to look at the infrastructure. How do the roads work? How safe are you on the streets? How safe are you down the subway? Well, Augie has found the New York Post is very, very interested in entertainment. Now, if you do live in the Big Apple, make sure to check for worms when you do bite into it. And have a look at this video. It's very interesting. The New York Post who are very much involved, as we say, in international geopolitics, are also seemingly very happy to entertain its readers by showing rats having sort of a UFC fight, right? It's kind of like, it's like Rumble in the Jungle. It's kind of Rumble down the subway. Check this out. Two rats having a full-on boxing match to the delight, it seems, of the New York Post. No comments about maybe we should clean this up. No. Just let's have a good laugh at that while spooking everyone about Mr. Putin and Mr. Xi. Oh, yeah, it's all wrapped up in one little ball. So remember, the media machine, the political messaging, and making it seem, yeah, it's okay. Our subways are infested with rodents that could spread the bubonic plague. You know, that doesn't matter. It's funny when we say it's funny, and it's scary when we say so. Yeah? Oh, for sure. Run the video, Augie. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Oh my god.
Holy. Look at this.
Yeah, yep.
The only people concerned about the rat infestation problem are the rats themselves. The rats are trying to control each other, it seems. Oh. It's crazy. Yeah. Two-legged rats in the legislature, four-legged rats in the subway. So let's get out of America, you know. Poor America, very sad, you know, horrible to watch. And head to Europe, where things aren't much better. And up north, the Finns, you know, Finns and the Russians had a bit of history, let's say. But they'd learned to get along with each other, right, Augie? After the Second World War, Russia and Finland had very good relations, basically. Very deep and meaningful economic ties, all gone to now. The Finnish economy taking a slapping and a battering like the rest of Europe because they've basically closed the border. Families are cut off from each other on this long border between Russia and Finland. And, you know, the whole idea of getting along, going along to get along, to work together has been destroyed because Finland decided to join NATO. Yeah. And guess what, Augie? Were the Finnish people asked, would they like to join NATO after a huge period of post-war peace and prosperity between Russia and Finland? Were they asked that they want to join NATO, Augie?
Well, I think, Che, it's assumed that the Finnish citizens would give up everything for their president to be able to stick up his tongue right up Zelensky's ass.
Now that you put it like that, Mr. Stubb has turned up, Stubby Stubb, they call him Stubby, I don't know, there's a rumor that he's quite stubby. Mr. Stubby has turned up again in Kiev. Now you might be saying, particularly if you're from Finland, the Finns are kind of tough, you know, they like vodka, they like beating the shit out of each other with the old birch leaves in the old, you know, banya. Mr. Stubb has a look about him. A look of the, you know, archetypal Europhile, the Eurotard, you know, a Euro Reichs minister. And don't forget, we're not going to talk, of course, about Finland running concentration camps in Karelia, being allied with the Nazis during the Second World War, contributing towards the siege of Leningrad, where millions of people died. Let's not talk about that. Let's just talk about the good side of them. Yeah. So Stubb turns up in Kiev again. And as the Finns are kind of wondering, Jesus, what is our prime minister, our leader, doing, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kilometers away down in Kiev, you know, as Augie said, inserting an element of his physiognomy into another element, potentially. But he's even admitted it now, right, Augie? He's not even trying to hide it anymore. He says that I spend more time with my darling Vladimir, than I do with my wife. Now, I don't know whether this says more about Zelensky's relationship with the Stubmaster or it says more about the Stubmaster's non-relationship with his wife. Either way, it's kind of creepy, right? Run the video, Augie.
I feel that in the past week, I have spent more time with you than I have with my wife.
What?
In that we spent a full day in Denmark, flew from there over to Paris. Last week, I spent a full day in Paris, and then you must have missed me so much that you called me over the week.
First to Denmark, then to Paris.
Maybe, Augie, maybe they went on the Are We Bent Express, not the Orient Express, the Are We Bent Express. I think maybe. Zelensky always seems to have a little bromance going on with somebody. I'd say Macrolian is absolutely furious furious that Zelensky has gone on a romantic weekend with another man.
Well, you see, Zelensky likes powerful men, and Macron is kind of losing his grip.
So, as we're talking about this post-truth reality, when it's obvious that China, India, Russia are winning, they're not just winning in Ukraine, where the Russians are fighting a coalition of 50 countries and militarily beating NATO, economically defeating the European Union. India is winning because this new crucible that's been forged by this aggressive foreign policy by the United States, it's not as if people didn't see this coming. And of course, China, the biggest manufacturing company, you just can't bully them. The Americans can't threaten China because most of the tech in American military kit is probably made, guess where, Augie?
In China.
Aha, 10 points for the Armenian. Yeah, so as you see this reality being completely denied in the West, okay, by the political elites who drove you into this show, they put the car in the ditch and now they're telling you it was someone else's fault. In that reality, you have to continue to kind of make it up. And that's right where we are right now. And guess who's been making up again? Ursula von der Leyen. Now, she decided to take a plane trip down to Bulgaria. Now, on the way, she also decided to pretend that the Russians had interfered with the GPS system on her plane, causing it to use paper maps. Paper maps, Augie! On the plane to land the plane. Now, there was a major outcry. All the Ukro scammers, the Ukro tards were shouting that this is an act of war. They tried to kill our president. Yeah, not really. If they tried, she'd be dead. In reality, what happened was nothing happened. Her plane didn't circle for several hours in Bulgaria trying to land. It was actually 9 minutes late, which is completely within the normal parameters for a flight anywhere, as anyone who flies in a plane will know. And guess what? Here's the rub. Flight radar, check it out. Flight radar said that there was no interference with the signal on our plane. Nothing happened. It was all made up, just like the rest of the bullshit these dudes are coming out with. They are getting desperate. Run the video, Augie.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. What a beauty. It's obvious. We know they did it, right? There is the visual evidence. Oh, von der Leyen. What next, Augie? What next? So that brings us to the end of yet another episode of the Moscow Mules. It's been quite a sad week, really. Sad to watch the United States tearing itself apart. Sad to watch the political elites trying to start World War III in Poland. And sad to see that the main motivation seems to be profit. That's what it seems to be all about. They don't really seem interested in talking to each other to end wars. They seem interested in talking in a way that will propel and continue conflict. And of course, that's not by mistake. Remember, no fear, no weapon sales, no weapon sales, no cash in the pockets of the same elites who are propping up the politicians and propping up the forever war machine. Augie and I are going to be here, same time, same place next week. They can't get rid of us. Hard to kill a bad thing, you know. And we're going to be narrating this clown show as it rolls forward. So our thoughts, prayers and wishes are with the American people. And we're going to keep on keeping on. So until same time, same place next week, we'll see you then. Look after each other and look after yourselves. Take care.